Welcome to show 927, the 17th day of February. I'm Todd Cochran, your host. Strap in, here it comes. This is the Geek News Central podcast, bringing you the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. Hey, I want to give everyone a warm welcome to the show. And just kind of a strange thing just happened. Just mere moments before I kicked everything onto live, I started hearing screaming from, I don't know, a couple houses over or something. I don't know if they just saw something exciting in the Olympics or if the police is on the way. I don't know. I even heard my wife in the other room say, "What's going on?" They're either watching something that my family isn't. But, man, it was kind of a spook me out just a little bit because we don't normally, pretty quiet neighborhood generally, except if I'm yelling at my kids or something. But, hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Hana out there. Thanks for being here. And, of course, thanks for being subscribed. We want to make sure that you take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the site. And we've got some more content up there for you over the weekend. We put a bunch of videos up. And, of course, we had the new media show this past Saturday as well. Talk about that here in a few minutes. But you can sign up for the newsletter. You can sign up for basically subscribe to the show. Piece of cake to do it right there at geeknewscentral.com. So make sure you do that. Of course, if you want to reach me, you can do so very easily on Twitter by reaching out at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. That's the best place to send your email comments to. So, of course, you can watch the show as well on the Roku Boxy, Google TV, Samsung Smart TV, via the Tech Podcast channel over there. So, how's everybody? You guys have a great weekend. Did everyone do okay on Valentine's Day? I hope you did. It was kind of a kickback thing. One thing that we're lacking here in Hawaii is really good Mexican food. And, you know, I really have gotten spoiled over the years of being in Texas and being in New Mexico, Albuquerque specifically, and be able to get you know, this great Mexican food with green chilies and just you name it. So my wife and I, basically my son went off with his girlfriend to do what boyfriend girlfriends do, and into town to eat. And they did have a chaperone, so semi-chaperone. The girlfriend's family was eating in another restaurant. And they picked him up, all came back later. But I had my daughter Anna and my son Chris with us in the car, and my daughter's like, "All right, you and mom go on a date, and I'll take care of Chris. We'll go home." And I said, no, we, you know, it's your mom and I already talked about it. We're going to go out and eat, and we went and had Mexican food in a new place that's really close to my house. It was great, and kind of a kickback type of deal. It was one of those places where you could bring your own booze in. So we didn't drink wine. We drank beer, and my daughter drove us back to the house, so we had a designated driver with us. Worked out really well. It was kind of a kickback evening. We had our little presents and everything for everyone, so everything worked out well. But I hope your Thanksgiving, geez, I hope your Valentine's Day went well. Hey, just before we get into the stack here, before I get into the stuff I want to chat with you about, before we get into the regular content, I do want to remind you that GoDaddy is our primary sponsor here at Geek News Central. And GoDaddy has been with this boy, oh boy, for a long, long time, and they continue to kick out great deals for you. And that's no exception this month. We've got some great deals, whether it be 50% off website builder, or whether it be a deal on a domain name for $295, or even 32% off. We've got really everything that you need to save some money over at GoDaddy. And this 32% off deal is absolutely fantastic. By using the promo code GO32OFF1, GO32OFF1, you save 32% over at GoDaddy. And if you're picking up a new .guru or .equipment or .directory domain, make sure you use that 32% off code It's going to save you a ton of money. But 50.07, we've got 50 website builder 7 for basically all these deals come with a free domain. So if you get a new hosting plan or a website builder plan, again, you get a free domain with it. Or you just buy $2.95, get you a new .com for a newer transfer.com for the first year by using the promo code 295geek. Now, be very, very quiet here. I found something. I found one of my codes that they haven't whacked yet. So if you're looking for a renewal code, use the code GO20OFF2. That's 20% off on a renewal. Now, I don't know how long this thing's going to last. I told you guys they were whacking all my renewal codes. I found this thing the other night. I was going through all my old codes to see if there was anything that was left. So GO20OFF2. You can find that promo code at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So that's a renewal code. I make no money for you guys using that. But the main thing here is that you guys can renew some products at 20% off. All right. So go get it and use it as need be. Lots of promo codes, just everything you can imagine there for you to use, even some expiring ones that may save you some money on some things. So we want to thank GoDaddy for bringing these great products to us and great codes. I lost out on a couple of domains. I tried to get podcast.equipment. A couple of domains that have popped, and I got basically notified that I wasn't getting the domain. They said there was some technical error on one of them, which kind of irked me a little bit. But it's very, very hard to get some of these new TLDs. It's definitely a land rush to pick them up. So stake out the ones that you want. The ones that I'm staking out for the future in quarter two, I'm not even going to say. You just look at the TLDs yourself. We talked a little bit on the new media show about it, but you stake out your own top TLDs that you want, because I'm not sharing. It's already hard enough to get those good ones. So you guys go get what you want. Don't go too crazy, but I was happy to get progear.guru. So that is going to come in handy in an upcoming show that we're going to launch here. So progear.guru belongs to me. Yes, sirree. And, you think about it, but that's a 6-digit domain, really. It's 10 after you add guru, but still 6 is still pretty good with this new land rush. But feel free to use all my codes to try to save the biggest amount of money you do when you're buying all these new TLDs. And I know you guys rushing out there and grabbing those. I've been slow because they're not $295. Those dot gurus, that's a $39.95. So it's, you got to think a little bit before you pull the trigger on those. But definitely check them out over at GoDaddy. We thank GoDaddy for being, again, a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. So what I want to do is kind of go through my stack. This past Saturday, we had Gary Leland on the new media show. And we were all ready for the Pottertainment magazine to launch, and we thought that it would be live, but it wasn't. What ended up happening was Gary forgot that to submit the app and have the app ready to go. So it'll be 4 or 5 days, we think, sometime midweek this week before it's available. And so we really can, only thing we could really do is talk about the Pottertainment magazine, but it is going to be a subscription. You get the app for free. $12.95 a year will be the fee to subscribe to the magazine. And I think it's going to be really good for the podcasting space. But I had Gary on. Talked a lot of different stuff about the podcasting space, where we've been, where we're going, and so forth. This week, I had 3 goals this weekend. And I got 2 of them accomplished. And one was just finished up maybe 2 hours ago. I had some some Raw Voice stuff I had to take care of. And number 2, I had to get my business taxes finished. So I don't know if any of you guys have a business. And this year I'm changing what I'm going to do a little bit. I'm going to hire a different person to do my, because it was killing me. My accounting fees had gotten over like $3,300 a year or something like that. It was nuts. So what I'm going to do is I'm hiring a separate person that is just going to strictly do the QuickBook entries for me. I don't have enough time. So I'm outsourcing that to someone that I'm familiar with. And then at the end of the year, I won't have this big pull my hair out. But I tried to, and basically I reverted back from having someone do my books this year to doing it myself, largely because it just, the cost had continued to climb and it was nuts. Now I'm having a CPA still do my business taxes, but what I had to do is I had to reconcile my bank statements, reconcile my separate credit card statements, and reconcile PayPal. Now, to make all sure all that matches, because I take money out of the bank account and I put it in PayPal. Then from PayPal, I pay the bloggers and some stuff I do in PayPal. Credit card I use for like software purchases and airline tickets. And really, it's got points, so I charge the heck out of that. And then I pay that off with the bank account, but the bank account has certain things pulling from it. So I had to reconcile three stacks, 1 year's worth of stuff today. About 8 or 10 hours, and it's done. And I, of course, for the last 90 minutes, it was 66 cents. 66 cents and hundreds of entries to find where that 66 cents was. Because, you know, you're thinking, okay, what's 66 cents? Well, it's like balancing your checkbook. Where did it go, right? And I finally found it, and it was just, you know, me mistyping something in two different places. So it just wasn't obvious that it was 66 cents off. It was like 22 cents on one and 44 on the other, something like that. So anyway, it's done and it's ready to go. Woohoo! So that's good. But in the meantime, the studio, you guys can't see it, but I don't want to turn the camera that way because the studio is trashed. My wife was like giving me the look. And so we're going to have to, or I'm going to have to clean this mess up. I've been getting a lot of stuff in for reviews and some stuff that I've done on Kickstarter. Two things that I got, and I want to show you guys this. This, for those of you listening, you have to come into the video, and we're about 18 minutes in, but I think we're, no, we're about 12 minutes in. So I got this one thing that I had worked on. Was called this thing from Snap Zoom. And you guys can Google it, Snap Zoom. And what it is if you have a pair of binoculars, you can use any mobile phone, flip, iPhone, Samsung, whatever it be, and put the iPhone in this section, and then hook this section to a set of binoculars, and you automatically have a telephoto lens. It's got a place to mount it to a tripod. This is really, really slick. I'm excited about being able to test this with a pair of binoculars that I have with my mobile phone. And something that came this morning, Pro Gear was 7 letters. That's right. Spitballs. It wasn't 6. Someone's my upper level English here. And then this afternoon came in HibJib. And you can check this out at HibJib.com. And what this is for me to be able to essentially be able to take cameras that I have and very easily navigate with them on a waist-mounted system. So it's something I was involved in called HibJib, and that came today as well, along with some other stuff to review, which I haven't gotten to yet. IQ5, a new microphone that goes on the bottom of a iPhone that's got this new lightning connector. So I'm looking forward to testing. This is from Zoom, again, IQ5, and I got to get it out of the box and start the test so I can do the write-up here this week. But that's kind of what, is in the little pile over here of stuff. That's what's going on. Now, one thing it's just been, and I guess maybe I'm becoming a cranky old man. I keep getting, some of the newer podcasters, and I won't talk too long on this, are, you know, there's some people out there that are touting that they are, you know, they have this magic plan for building a podcast and making money, and they make a lot of noise and have a lot of claims, and I did this and I did that, and I think that any podcaster out there that is so worried about the money is probably forgetting about their audience. And so I basically tell my advice to any podcasters listening is focus on your audience, build your show, and the income will come. It's not one before the, you know, it kind of goes together. I was lucky, you know, I was early on and we grew this show fast. But at the same time, you know, if the craft isn't perfected and the audience isn't there, you know, you're not going to make no money over the long run. So, you know, focus on building an audience. The cash will come over time. And I won't go into that any deeper. Hey, we were watching the Olympics last night. And we've been catching it here and there. It's just like we haven't been watching the whole thing. I just haven't had time. But I did catch the interview with the skier from America that won a medal. The skier had his brother die previously, and I don't know the full backstory, but my family become incensed by, and it was down to, you know, my youngest son really didn't have too much to say, but my other two older ones, this NBC reporter that interviewed this skier, she should never be allowed to interview anyone in sports again, or at least get some sensitivity training. I don't know if you saw the interview, but I was thoroughly disgusted with the prodding and the poking. And that individual obviously has not lost anyone close to them, but it was horrible. I mean, it was really horrible. And I stopped watching. We changed the channel at that point. It really pissed us all off. I mean, it down to, you know, the four oldest folks in this house, you know, the 10-year-old, he wasn't really getting the gist of it. But, you know, any reporter that makes, turns something, it just wasn't good. I was thoroughly disgusted with this lady that did the interview. I don't know if you caught it. If you did, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. But, you know, you don't treat people like that. You just don't keep prodding and making these bizarre comments. I really didn't get it, to be honest with you. I didn't. So anyway, I'll leave it at that. We'll move on here and get into the content. Hey, don't forget over, if you're a podcaster looking for hosting, you can get a free month of hosting by using the promo code GEEKNEWS when you go to checkout at over at blueberry.com. All right, so let's go ahead and look here, see if I got through my stack. And I think that's it. Again, if I hadn't said it to begin with, hey, thanks for being here and staying subscribed to the show. Definitely appreciate it. And let me go ahead here and load up the browser with all our stuff. Kind of a slow news day today, largely because I think some people worked and some people didn't, but it definitely wasn't super like booming today. So I think we're going to get through this stuff pretty fast tonight. So I hope that, you know, give me the allotted time here. We'll get through this stuff relatively fast and we'll get you on your way. But let's first talk about in the health sector, this new leadless pacemaker. This is pretty big. They've got an implant of the first leadless pacemaker in New York. This basically was put in via a vein. It basically didn't have to open him up, go invasive. Basically attached the pacemaker by following a blood vessel up and attach it to the wall of the heart where it needed to be. But this is a prototype, and this is a big, big deal. Now, this isn't going to work if someone needs a pacemaker on some of the upper quadrants, only for the lower quadrants. But it's amazing what's happening in the pacemaker front. I'm sure many of you are had a family member with a pacemaker. My grandfather had one for many, many years, lived to, he was 98, 99, and did well on it. There's also some, switching gears here, there's some discussion, of course, about an asteroid. Did you guys hear about this asteroid? I was like caught off guard. I don't know if we talked about it before, but there was a flyby today of an asteroid that was covered live, and I'm like, where did that thing come from? And maybe we talked about it, and I just lost some brain cells and forgot, but did any of you watch the live stream of that? Did you see it? And if you did, love to hear your comments on it. Hey, by the way, did you guys notice in the show notes I did something a little different last show? No complaints so far. No emails, you know, basically dogging me out. So it must be okay. So as you guys are listening along tonight, try to determine what I've done with the show notes. And I think the strategy is going to work. Time will tell on this. So just if you noticed, give me some feedback, plus or minus. And if no one complains, which I was surprising that we didn't have a bunch of, you know, hey, how come in the inbox? So you guys will notice it tonight too. If you watch closely at the show notes, you'll figure it out. Hey, Google is going to be taking over a San Francisco space for engineers who don't want to commute to Silicon Valley. They've taken over a 35,000 square foot building in the heart of a mission at 285 Alabama Street, according to Financial Times. And Google basically is going to be making workspaces there for some of their startups, and also a number of engineers that maybe don't want us to go all the way into Silicon Valley. So looks like this could become a popular working space for the number of folks that are approved to be out there. So we'll definitely keep an eye on what Google's doing there and trying to diversify their workforce a little bit and make people not have to spend an hour in traffic every day. I have not tried this app yet, and I think I'm going to have to. And we talked about a little bit about this on the show already. It's called Secret. And there was a great write-up on it in The Verge talking about this new app. And you know, lately, it's been a topic among a lot of Silicon Valley tech workers, VCs, and even media who cover them. And people are devouring their secret feeds. Now, this comes with some caution here. So I don't think this app at this time is probably one for the kids. But there's an unpredictable mix of different type of topics, I guess we better say. Industry gossip, Valentine's Day activities, unpredictable mix of different types of information and photos. So the interesting thing about this is this app's secrets have all been posted by your friends, though you'll never know which friend. Secret is anonymous. It's a feed of gossip created by contacts in your iPhone, but labeled only as being from a friend or a friend of a friend. Popular secrets from elsewhere around the world also surface, labeled only by their point of geographic origin. And it's basically a big masquerade ball. Your identity is not revealed. It's essentially Twitter without self-promotion. It's Google Plus private sharing done right, a curiosity type thing. So I'm definitely going to check this out. So if you guys are listening, go out and grab the Secret app. Make sure that you've got geeknews@gmail.com in your phone list. You could even put my telephone number in your phone. I don't know if that helps or not, but 808-741-4923. You guys can we can all share secrets together. And this is a great way, I think, to do rumors. So I'm going to have to play with this a little bit. It should be interesting. Now, I would just forewarn everyone. You probably better be careful, because if you say something in there that is completely outlandish, I'm sure the law of the land still applies, and they probably still can find who it came from. So, you know, be careful what you're posting on this app, because as we have found many, many times before, what you say can come back to hurt you in a big, big way. But definitely, we're going to have to try this app out together and see how it works. Those of you that have been messing around in the Bitcoin space, Mt. Gox Bitcoin withdrawals will resume soon. Mt. Gox issued an official statement saying it's found a workaround for its Bitcoin transaction issues, which will see Bitcoin withdrawals soon. This comes after the team worked over the weekend to begin implementation of a new transaction system. So be aware that you might be able to get your Bitcoins out of there if you are using that site. At the same time, the Syrian Electronic Army basically slurped over 1 million reader passwords from Forbes. And I've got my email from Kickstarter too. Kickstarter was hacked. They had said basically, hey, we got all your information from Kickstarter. So by this time, you know, I'm just thinking to myself, you know, it's just daily. Forbes, Kickstarter, Target, you know, it's just company of the day. And I was thinking to myself, do I have an account over at Forbes? I don't think so. But, you know, it's a good time to go through your entire password stack. You know, I'm using a vault to save my passwords. It's probably a good time to, if you haven't done it already, I had my cord drop here. If you haven't done it already, you should probably go through and do a audit on all your passwords and make sure that they're scrambled, that you're not using sequential stuff anymore, that you're letting them, you know, basically the computer decide the password. We got to do this and go through, spend an evening going in and changing your passwords and all these sites that have, you know, basically a standard or a modified password sequence. You know, having 4 or 5 combinations to come up with a single password probably is not safe anymore, because if you've done the same combination with the last group being maybe different or something like that, you're probably pretty susceptible. If someone is able to go through and actually decrypt those hashtags and say, okay, oh yeah, that guy uses that for that website, I bet I can break into his other website. So be careful out there, okay? And we know that MD5 is hopelessly weak. The attackers can combine the passwords of 123456 with a particular user's salt and quickly generate a hash to check it against the database entry. And if it matches, the password is revealed. If not, try again with another similar crappy password. So be careful. It took about an hour using one core of a vanilla laptop to crack close to 1/4 of the passwords, or 500 or so of Forbes employees in the database. So, you know, if you're using simple passwords, you know, you're done. They're going to own you in a big, big way. In a big, big way. So please be careful out there, okay? Those of you in California, you guys got some serious problems with the drought going on out there. I'm pretty lucky here in Honolulu. It rained all weekend, even though it was a little bit muggy. And it, you know, basically I hate it any time that it rains here like this. It's getting a little old, but we've needed the rain. And how come you're not loading? I'm trying to load a article so I can show you guys some pictures of California, and it doesn't want to load. Okay, let me close that browser. Let's try another one. What is the deal? This thing is just sitting here spinning. Is it me or is it that website? Let me try a different website. Oh, it finally loaded. Or did it? No, this webpage is not available. All right, let me try this one and see if that one comes up. Are we still on the air? Because this browser has definitely got some issues. Why is it doing that? All right, let's pull Firefox over there. And let's try you and see what happens. Wow, either the network has slowed way down or something is... it's screwy here because the page doesn't want to load. That is troublesome. How come? It says connecting. The live stream's up. There it fine. It was like DNS was held up or something. You know, I've seen this happen a couple of times. Now it's just boom, it's loading quick. Yes, it was weird. Something was hung up there. All right, anyway, let's go back to the topic at hand here. The drought, as seen from space. Boy, oh boy. Going from February 15th of 2013 to February 6th, 2014, as seen on NASA's Terra satellite, it's pretty scary to see the land die. And if you look at this, it goes from green to just like brown. And, you know, this is a big deal because much of the produce that we have in the grocery store during the wintertime comes out of California, comes out of Silicon Valley. And when you're not getting any water, we could become a pretty big dust bowl there in the valley, especially talking about water restrictions this year. It could be bad. So we'll have to keep an eye on what's going on in California, because so much produce and so much, you know, just when it, you know, whether it be tomatoes, grapefruit, lettuce, cabbage, you name it. I mean, just a huge, there's a huge agriculture. You know, most people don't think about it, but, you know, you go out of L.A. and you go up over top of the grapevine, and from there all the way to San Francisco, it is essentially all farmland that's irrigated. And it doesn't grow, you know, they get so hot there. It doesn't grow on its own. It needs water. And there's, you know, there's viaducts and irrigation happening everywhere. So we'll see what happens in California over the next year. But it's going to be pretty scary out there. All right, there's a new exploit out. It's been released. And this is for those of you that have Linksys routers. Please be aware that a large number of Linksys routers are now affected. Specifically, let me go over the models here. And you need to check yours and come to this article. I have the link up in the show notes. The E4200, E3200, E3000, E2500, 2100L, 2000, 1550, 1500, 1200, 1000, E900, E300, the WAG320, WAP300, WAP610. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And Linksys is aware of the malware called The Moon that has affected select older Linksys e-routers and other older wireless and access points and routers. The exploit to bypass the admin authentication used by the worm only works when the remote access feature is enabled. Now, Linksys ships these products with the remote access feature turned off by default. So customers should disable the remote management feature and reboot their routers to remove the malware. And so it's not persistent across reboots. Linksys has published a technical article on its website with instructions on how to install the latest firmware version. And again, disable remote management on affected devices. And this is, you know, if you've got a home router, there's really no good reason for most people to have remote access turned on. And so just be aware here. Cyber criminals recently started compromising home routers to launch attacks against online banking users. So this has big, big ramifications, okay? Okay, so let's switch gears here. Moving to the next topic. Another security issue with WordPress. WordPress two-factor login plugin has got a problem. The makers of a popular plugin that provides two-factor authentication for WordPress is preparing an update after finding a vulnerability in its system. It advises that anyone using two-factor plugins from any vendor need to check their security strength. Duo Security's Duo WordPress plugin is vulnerable in some multi-system deployments. The company says allowing someone logged into one site to access a second site in a deployment without going through two-factor authentication. Again, the problem only exists for those administrators using multiple WordPress sites, but has implemented Duo WordPress individually on each site. However, Duo Security notes, we've determined authentication plugins from other two-factor vendors are similarly affected by this vulnerability and advises all two-factor users to see if they are vulnerable. And there's a customer advisory for Duo Security. So I know a lot of folks are using this. So just be aware if you're a WordPress user. One thing that's happened at the Olympics is, boy, I tell you, pictures are being taken like crazy. You know, with digital being, you know, having the ability really to shoot what traditionally was a roll of film in about 3 seconds. We've got Getty and AP there. And Getty is like shooting a million pictures a day. I mean, something ridiculous. And they've got teams, huge teams there. They're doing nothing but editing. If stuff comes in, they are cropping. One person's doing metadata. Another person's doing color correction. And within about 60 seconds, the photo's out the door. And so, if a guy shoots 20, the Getty team looks at all 20, picks the best one. And it's all about speed, about getting it up there. And they want stuff to happen almost real time going into their directory. Same thing with AP. And I always wondered how they were doing that. Well, Getty came in during construction and they laid their own Ethernet down so that they would have a network there to be able to really get the stuff back quick, either via laptop wireless access points and a whole bunch of stuff. It's crazy. Probably the money that they spent, number one, but it just goes to show you there's a lot of cash to be made in still pictures. And they're talking about their pack out and the team that's there. They got lots of people on the ground, same with AP. So they're definitely getting a huge, huge, huge number of images from the events. But this is what it's all about. But this is a great article talking about the infrastructure. That's what piqued my curiosity more than anything. I think it will yours as well. Again, I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. Over in New Mexico, officials are testing for possible radiation leak at New Mexico Military Nuclear Waste Site. Last Friday, elevated levels of radioactive particles were measured at an underground nuclear waste site near Carlsbad, with the Department of Energy officials speaking on the incident. DOE emphasizes there's no danger to human health or the environment. WIP system of air monitors and protective filtration system continue to function as designed. The source of the airborne radiation is still being investigated. So this is the first real alarm since the plant opened in 1999. And federal officials are testing for radiation in air samples at the site where radioactive waste, such as plutonium used in defense research and nuclear weapons making, is dumped a half mile below the ground in an ancient salt formation. So if you live in the Carlsbad area, get your tape ready. Well, they're a little bit of a scare today. People that were Apple fanboys said, hey, where did Jonathan Ivey's profile go off the Apple website? And they thought something was amiss, but it was just a bug. Ivy's profile's back on the leadership webpage with no changes. An Apple spokesperson said it was just a technical glitch, no big deal. But boy, people were getting spooled up in that quick of a time. Hey, India, you know, they're sending a spacecraft to Mars for about 75% of the gravity film budget. A New York Times article on India's recent launch of a spacecraft to Mars says that they spent $75 million for the mission. And basically, a thrifty approach to time, money, and materials is getting a lot of attention. Of course, this was just days after the launch of, NASA sent its own Mars mission called MAVEN. That particular mission cost $671 million. The budget of India's Mars mission, by contrast, was just three-quarters, again, $75 million of the $100 million that Hollywood spent on last year's space-based hit Gravity. So, labor costs are not as high in India. They outsource everything to smaller companies. We'll see what happens when the spacecraft gets to Mars, how it performs. All right, Allcast. You guys heard about this? You know, Akushik Duda has put together Allcast. He originally called it MyCast, and we actually had to send him an email basically saying, hey, that infringes on one of our trademarks. But he built this app called Allcast, and he's doing a lot with it. This is a pretty cool app. If you haven't downloaded it and you're using it on your Android, you need to. It works together with Chromecast. So for the $30 Chromecast and this free Allcast, it's pretty exciting what you can do there. So definitely check Allcast out in the Play Store, and I think you'll enjoy it if you have a Chromecast. All right, the Navy, Star Wars at Sea. The Navy is ready to deploy its first laser system this year. So this is pretty cool. And of course, rail guns aren't far behind. And some of the Navy's futuristic weapons, of course, sound like something out of Star Wars, with lasers designed to shoot down aerial drones. It's ready to go. The Navy, according to Yahoo, the Navy plans to deploy its first laser on a ship later this year. And it intends to test an electromagnetic railgun prototype aboard a vessel within 2 years. So this is pretty cool. The solid-state laser weapon system is designed to target what the Navy describes as asymmetrical threats. Those include aerial drones, speedboats, and swarm boats, all potential threats to warships in the Persian Gulf, where the Ponce is. It's going to go on the USS Ponce. So it's going to be cool. And of course, the rail guns need a lot of juice. So the Navy's new destroyer, the Zumwalt, under construction at Bath Iron Works in Maine, is the only ship with enough electric power to run a railgun. The stealthy ship's gas turbine power generation can produce up to 78 megawatts of power. I was in a different model destroyer, but it's pretty interesting how power is generated on ships these days. It's just essentially a jet engine that is hooked to a reduction gearbox, is hooked to a generator. And it's, you know, basically a jet engine on a stand. And the engineers are able to get access to it if they need it. And it's pretty cool how they actually do engine change if they need to do an engine change. It's pretty slick how the, you know, how they generate power on a, it's just basically an aircraft engine modified, of course, but, pretty cool. And of course, jet exhaust out the stack, versus diesel out the stack. And I'm sure many of you are already aware of that, but, pretty cool stuff here. So anyway, link will be up the show notes on that one. There's a good article on GigaOm talking about Utah City Score broadband deal. Of course, we were worried about the Utah legislature shutting this down. Of course, Google is not the only company working with municipalities to build gigabit networks. Now, get this. Australian infrastructure giant Macquarie Capital is getting into the U.S. broadband business. It has signed a pre-development agreement with a Utah inter-local agency to build out a fiber network to 150,000 homes and all of the businesses in 11 cities. The Utah Telecommunications Open Infrastructure Agency member cities banded together to bring affordable broadband via an open access network supporting several ISPs. Its initial years were plagued by controversial and financial challenges, but Utopia dramatically turned the corner in 2011 and the business improved. So this is big deal. This is a big contract here. Of course, in Provo, Utah, Google negotiated a 5-year deal to take over the city's existing network and invest $18.7 million to expand the network to cover 35,000 homes for a cost of about $500 per home. Contrast this with the Utopia agreement. They negotiated a 30-year contract that includes revenue sharing with the partnerships of member cities can pay off past bond debts. The company will invest funds to cover all homes and businesses in 11 cities, which works out to around $2,000 a home and is more characteristic of a new build. At the end of the contract, Utopia will own the infrastructure and with no new debt. So this is pretty cool. So we'll see what happens here. You know, we're going to get it one way or the other, folks. And I think this is a good sign. Hey, there's a great article on a new website that I'm following. And actually, this is a company that has a malware software. It's called malwarebytes.org. But their blog, blog.malwarebytes.org, has a security announcement talking about hiding in plain sight, a story about a sneaky banking Trojan. It's called the Zeus ZBot Trojan. It's one of the most notorious banking Trojans ever created. It's so popular, it's given birth to many offshoots and copycats. But a new variant of this Trojan, dubbed Zeus VM, is using images as decoys to retrieve its configuration file, a vital piece for its proper operation. French security researchers noted something strange in one of the malvertising campaigns that's been talked about a little bit. The malware was retrieving a JPEG image hosted on the same server as were other malware components. So basically, the photo contained the malware, and they break it down and how it's happening and what's going on and how this is really what's really happening here. But hiding code in this way can successfully bypass signature-based intrusion detection systems or even antivirus software. From a webmaster point of view, images, especially ones that can be viewed, would appear harmless, but it's a reminder that a file should be not considered safe simply because it appears to be a legitimate picture, song, or movie. They're just reapplying old tricks to modern technology, but this stuff is buried in their systems. And I've used Malwarebytes for a number of years on top of antivirus software, knock on wood here, and some other tactics as well. So I have that link up for you to check out. good article in the New York Times talking about Google Plus and some of the things that have been going on with Google Plus and the strategy. I won't go too deep into that, but essentially it's kind of like the Trojan horse, because Google makes everyone that wants to comment on a YouTube video and a variety of different things sign up for a Google Plus account. It gives Google a lot of insight into things that we're doing. So how many of you have held up getting a Google Plus account because you're just worried that it ties it in just a little bit too tight with some of the things that Google is doing to monitor us? All right, one thing that's kind of interesting, there's this article where it makes use of .com that I found pretty compelling. It's a, and let me just go over to google.com and let me bring this up on this page here. So let me go google.com. And what I'm going to do is that we're going to try a couple, I'm going to just do a couple experiments before we get into it. So if I'm going to, I'm going to type in my name, Todd Cochran. And, you know, looking at the how it auto finishes, it basically shows my Google Plus profile and also talks about a math professor that's also got shares my same name and Todd Cochran, Geek News Central. So those were the three things that came up. So next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to type in my company's name, Raw Voice. And what comes up? Raw Voice Certified, which is one thing that we have. And a profile for me, actually a profile for my mom, which is kind of weird. Let's go to, let's see what happens when we type in blueberry and see what we get for blueberry PowerPress, blueberry stats, blueberry forum. So these are all pretty relevant search terms. But if I type in Apple, and what I'm doing is I'm testing the autocomplete. So Apple Store, Apple Stock, Apple Byte Range Request, that's something that I had searched for before. So also, they go into some details here on a test that was done. And let me come back to me here. And what they found was that these team of researchers and software engineers and business specialists extract data regarding products and people and businesses. They collected data on 100 brands using Google's suggested queries API and auto completion. Now, it's a little different than what we just tested. But when they tested for Apple, one of the things that come up in the autocomplete was evil, overrated, doomed, dead. Google, evil, God, your friend, Skynet. When they looked for Coca-Cola, bad for you, evil, good for you, green. When they did IBM, a joke, not a cloud king, evil. These are things that they found that was basically extensions to the brand. And so, you know, if I was the social media or the SEO guy over there, I would not be happy if I was typing in Pepsi and it basically said better than Coke or bad in the search results. You know, for Volkswagen, the best, German, UPS, slow, terrible, hiring, Honda, better than Toyota, boring. BMW, the best. So, you know, all kinds of interesting auto completes. So do some tests on your own and see what you come up with when you're using Google's autocomplete to see what kind of things it offers you and see if your brand is correctly identified. And of course, it's best to do that when you're not logged in. And I'm logged in right now, so it would have tweaked it a little bit based on stuff that I've looked for in the past. But definitely check that out. Hey, there was a big accusation over Steam over the weekend. And basically, the folks were saying that Steam was reporting back to the VAC servers. And there's a, you know, pretty strong write-up. And they basically asking the folks at Valve, hey, what's going on? So, surprisingly, Gabe Newell responded, and this is unusual for him to ever come really basically to reach out and say anything, but he basically says, number one, do we send your browser history to Valve? No. Two, do we care what adult sites you visit. He says, oh, dear God, no. My brain just melted. Number three, is Valve using its market success to go evil? And he responds, I don't think so, but you have to make the call. If we are trustworthy, we try really hard to earn and keep your trust. So, but he also did explain the reasoning for VAC's use of DNS data, explaining that as cheaters get more advanced, cheat creators for Steam's online games can charge money for their hacks. And Newell said they also create DRM and anti-cheat code for original hacks designed to ensure a cheater has actually paid for the cheat. He says those cheats phone home to an external DRM server that confirms the cheater's paid to use that cheat, a process that leaves a telltale trail in the user's DNS entries. If found by VAC, those details of the matching DNS entries would be sent to Valve's VA server. The detail would be checked one final time, and the client would be marked for a future ban. So basically, they are getting some data, but they're using it to find cheaters on Valve. So if you're running hacks, they are trying to detect them, and they're looking for the telltale signs of stuff that call home to mama, essentially. So be aware out there. And I don't know. We'll see how the community responds to this. There's some rumors out here that Apple's writing tools to simplify mass iOS device deployment and management. So if you're business, be aware of that. The iOS 7 update is expected to fix bugs and enhance a variety of user interface elements, but fresh rumors claim the release, supposedly coming in mid-March, will also include a major overhaul of the mobile device management mass deployment system and will launch alongside a totally new volume service web client. So that's all good for those that are in the business side of the things and doing deployments to phones in your business sector. So I have that up in the show notes for you to check out. Time Warner's cable's plan to include Netflix on its set-top box may be in jeopardy. And I think we kind of were expecting this. With Comcast's purchase, or maybe to be approved purchase, of Time Warner, and of course, it's being far from complete, but they're starting to see some potential fallout from the deal. Netflix has been working with Time Warner to get its app installed on the cable provider's set-top box, but now Bloomberg is reporting that Comcast deal has put those efforts on hold. Comcast is expected to complete its purchase before Netflix and Time Warner Cable are able to complete an agreement. And Comcast isn't nearly as interested in adding Netflix to its boxes as Time Warner Cable appeared to be. So two steps forward, one step back. So we'll have to see if this comes into the discussions of the regulators as they consider them to consider the merger. All right, former second largest Linux distributor, Red Flag Software, shut down. Once the world's second largest Linux distributor, Red Flag Software shuttered reportedly due to mismanagement after owing employees months in unpaid wages. China's state-funded answer to global software giants like Microsoft filed for liquidation over the weekend and terminated all employee contracts. This was set up in 1999 amid the dot-com boom. Red Flag was touted as an alternative to Windows. It thrived in the early deals, inking deals with partners such as Oracle and Dell, which products were certified to support and shipped with Red Flag. Of course, the Beijing-based vendor was primarily funded by the Chinese Academy of Science Institute of Software Research and later received funding from state-owned Shanghai New Margin Venture. But lack of brand awareness, sustained investments, coupled with the rise of rivals, including Red Hat, and Sus Linux, has led to its downfall. Might also be an issue that they were Chinese. Hey, YouTube threatens to remove a scientist account over AIDS deniers' DMCA claims. YouTube is threatening to remove the account of a scientist who had made a series of videos debunking claims made in AIDS denialist movies. Basically, the scientist was saying, hey, these folks are wrong in what they're saying. And the denialist basically filed DMCA takedown notices against this guy's content. So it's caused a little bit of an ire. And basically, this guy's just trying to battle these folks from putting out bogus information or alleged bogus information. And so anyway, we'll see where this leads. But he says here again, the DMCA being abused by a group that doesn't like to hear what other people have to say. There's been a lot of people coming out saying no to Comcast acquisition of Time Warner. Krugman, in his column Barons of Broadband, a New York Times columnist, says Comcast perfectly fits the old notion of monopolist as robber barons, so called by analogy with medieval warlords who perched in their castles overlooking the Rhine, extracting tolls from all who passed. The Time Warner deal would, in effect, let Comcast strengthen its fortification, which has to be a bad idea. Comcast chief executives say not to worry. It will reduce competition in any relevant, says not to worry. But he goes on to say it will reduce competition in any relevant market because our companies do not overlap or compete with each other. In fact, we do not operate in any of the same zip codes. Krugman goes on to say this is, however, transparently disingenuous. The big concern about making Comcast even bigger isn't reduced competition for customers and local markets. For one thing, there's hardly any effective competition at that level anyway. It's that Comcast would have even more power than it already does to dictate terms to the providers of content for its digital pipes. So going again, back to the pipes, folks. Makes a lot of sense. How many of you guys on the East Coast have already watched Jimmy Fallon? I'm going to try to check a show out tonight. Jimmy Fallon's take the reins of NBC's The Tonight Show. And a lot of high expectations for Jimmy Fallon. We'll see how he does. You don't want to be a lawyer for Snowden. Snowden's lawyer was interrogated by UK authorities at Heathrow Airport. Justin Raddick told a news site she was directed to a specific Heathrow Border Force agent. He didn't see Mr. in her passport. She was then subjected to very hostile questioning. And he asked her a lot of questions that made her think that they had a lot of information on her, and they knew a lot more than they were letting on. And again, this is in a way to intimidate the lawyers. And she was also informed that she was on an inhibited persons list, whatever that means, and that also a U.S. law firm was spied upon as it advised the Indies. Oh, this is something else that goes on with this, but I'm sure they're watching these folks really close. That would be my guess. Orbiting observatory captures image of stars and lunar surface. So if you're interested, the NASA orbiting lunar that has successfully downlinked images of the moon and stars taken aboard the camera systems known as star trackers. The main job of the trackers on the lunar atmosphere and dust environment explorer LADEE is to snap images surrounding star fields so that a spacecraft can internally calculate its orientation in space. It's not normally linked. They don't normally link the images down, but they did this for the first time. So if you want to check them out, link will be in the show notes. CBS is admitting that a Arrow Supreme Court win would not hurt CBS and might make things better for everybody. CBS is a little bit worried about Arrow. You want to see what Google Chairman Eric Schmidt's new house looks like? I have the link up in the show notes. If you want to see what, you know, let me bring this up. You know, I like beautiful homes. You know, just like the next person. But I look at some of these houses, and they are just so beyond over the top. Okay, so those of you that are watching, you know, the outside of this house looks really nice. It really, really does. And they got a nice patio. Not really my taste too much. But then inside the house, I see this house, and it's obviously like one of the living rooms, because I'm sure they have multiple. But it reminds me of like my grandparents' home. It's just old, not inviting. I don't know. I looked at the design on this and I just like want to throw up in my mouth. It's, to me, it's just like, who would want to go entertain people here? Now, looks like the entry area looks pretty nice and the pool area looks good. But if the whole house designed like this living room, please hire an interior designer that can like not have that 70s look. And I'm sure all that furniture was very expensive, but it just looks so stuffy. If I had this guy's money, I'd have a hip place to live. You know, this really, you sure he didn't buy this house for his you know, some aunt or uncle or something, or a parent. I'm sorry. It just kind of blows me away. It really, really, really does. But I, you know, each his own. All right here. So, last couple articles for you. Told you we were going to get you out of here pretty quick. GoPro's IPO is right around the corner. Did you guys know that it's GoPro's making or selling close to $500 million worth of product a year? Isn't that incredible? And wow. But its IPO is coming. So we'll see how they do here. I don't know the date, but wow. Huge, 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 huge. Of course, GoPro is pretty crazy. Some of the stuff that they've been able to do with those cameras. But oh, that's it. That's all I'm going to cover that last one. That last article is kind of dumb. Bore you guys any further than I already have. So anyway, again, kind of a tight show night for news. So going to get you guys out of here early. And let me double check and see what we got for email that came in. And let me look here. Yeah, got a couple. Oh, you guys are going to love this. you really, really are. Okay. Got an email from Joanne. And he said, I thought you'd be interested in an article on Enterprise Ireland websites. And it's keysshare.com. Don't know. I haven't checked this website, so I'm going to check it before I put it in the show notes for you. Got an email from Alan. And Alan, now that you're a listener of the show, just a disclaimer, I'm an equal opportunity basher when it comes to the RIAA and some of the things that have been happening in that space. Alan works, and we haven't really bashed BMI too much, but Alan's a listener of the show. He says, hey, Todd, this is the first time I ever listened to your podcast. I have quite enjoyed it. Just want to say I'm with Hal, the email you read in your podcast on this one. I have my many friends that use Comcast, and almost every one of them has a frustrating story to tell about their personal experiences with the evil empire. I feel that Comcast is a monopoly of sorts that certainly does not need any more powers. I hope the FCC shuts down the deal. In the meantime, Google Fiber, I'm looking at you. I can only imagine the horror stories of Comcast empire creases as they push aside consumers in their disorganization and excruciatingly painful customer service. I think if you had Comcast in Hawaii, you'd be would be sailing the ship with me and Hal. Maybe I would. You know, I don't know. You gotta understand though. The only time we've gotten increases in services here when there's been competition in Hawaii, and we finally now have competition for the first time. So, Alan, help me figure out how we can get podcasters to be able to legally pay copyrighted material on our shows. You put me in touch with someone at BMI that can help us on that. And thanks for being a new listener to the show. I appreciate it. Got an email here from JP. He says, hey, Todd, I'm not sure if you've seen this one. It's pretty good. And there's some backlash that's slapping Microsoft on help a friend dump XP, please. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. So thanks for that. And I think that's it. I just think there was three emails to the show, so not too much. But again, if you guys have comments, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your email. You can always tweet me at geeknews as well. Become an insider. 6.7 cents a day or $2 a month really goes a long way in helping support the show. I was actually pretty surprised on the grand total of the number of donations to the show last year. So thank you for that. Help it keep it coming. If we could do about 7 times, maybe 8 times the total donations to the show this year that we did last year, we could really make an impact on really getting me some help here and lowering maybe the advertising volume in the show. So consider becoming an insider. And if you're an insider, thanks for supporting the show. I definitely appreciate your continued support. Again, I know we got a number of people at the $25 and $10 level, a number at $5, and a lot of folks at $2. Thank you so much. GeekNewsCenter.com/insider. And again, I appreciate your continued support of the show. All right, let's go ahead and wrap things and we'll get out of here. Again, everyone take care. We'll see you on Thursday. It's going to be a great week. And I think I'm finally getting my nose below the water or above the waterline in trying to get caught up here. So everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.